Over the past 61 years, the Bush Foundation has made over $1 billion in grants to thousands of individuals and organizations across Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and the 23 Native nations within those states. The foundation was established in 1953 by 3M executive Archibald Bush and his wife Edith. Last week, the Bush Foundation named 10 organizations winners of the 2014 Bush Prize for Community Innovation. They include Face It Together, a Sioux Falls organization helping people with drug and alcohol addiction through peer-to-peer management support, the First People's Fund in Rapid City, which helps Native artists be tradition bearers and leaders of social change, and Destination Rapid City, which has helped revitalize downtown. Jennifer Ford Reedy has been president of the Bush Foundation since 2012. Before joining the foundation, she was chief of staff and vice president of strategy for Minnesota Philanthropy Partners, where she led the creation of GiveMN.org and Give to the Max Day in the Minnesota Idea Open. Earlier today, Jennifer Ford Reedy spoke at the Morning Phillips series sponsored by the Garage in Rapid City, and she joins us from our studios at the Dahl Art Center. And Jennifer, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I think a lot of us are at least familiar with the name Bush Foundation, but perhaps unclear of what the organization does. I touched briefly on a few things, including community innovation. But Jennifer, how do you describe the work and mission of the Bush Foundation?
We talk about our mission as investing in great ideas and the people who power them. And Archibald Bush, who created the foundation, who left his money to the community, really left it with an amazing amount of flexibility to decide how to use that money. So fundamentally, our role at the Bush Foundation, as staff of the Bush Foundation, a board of the Bush Foundation, is to figure out how to do the most possible good with this money that Mr. Bush left to the community. So we do that in a variety of ways. We have programs where we invest directly in individuals, like things like the Bush Fellowship Program, which is a little unusual for foundations, actually, to invest directly in individuals the way we do. And then we also give to great organizations, like the ones you were just referring to, who receive the Bush Prize.
So how do you find the individuals and the organizations that receive Bush Foundation grants?
Well, we try to always have, wherever we can, very open, transparent selection processes. Because we're in St. Paul, but as you mentioned, we cover three states and the 23 Native nations. So we can't be present in a way that allows us to figure out, you know, who those folks are, who those organizations are that would, you know, really benefit from an investment from the Bush Foundation. So what we try to do is get out in the community to spread understanding of those programs and then encourage as many people as possible to apply and go through our processes to find, you know, great investments for Bush Foundation dollars.
So this is a competitive process?
Most all of our funding is, yes, competitive. And the, you know, we really, really take that seriously for a number of reasons. One is to make sure we're finding, you know, those best uses of money. But second is to make sure that we're really equitable, you know, that the nonprofit run by, you know, a good friend of mine in St. Paul, you know, has organization here in Rapid City have equal chance of getting Bush funding, regardless of whether, you know, I know that program or the people running it. We really want to make sure that we're a good partner to everyone throughout our region.
Now, you mentioned the word partner. How does, is this something of a partnership, the Bush Foundation, then, in the work that you do with granting these organizations and individuals?
Yes, now to varying degrees with different programs. So we have an initiative right now on teacher training, teacher education, where we work with the University of South Dakota, for example, and that would be a really in-depth, long-term relationship where we really are working together. In some of our grant programs, like our community innovation grants, you know, the primary part of the relationship is the funding. We want to be available to try and be useful in different ways. We want to try and promote grantees that we fund to help attract more attention and more resources to them. But the level of interaction varies a little bit based on, you know, what type of funding someone received.
Is the Bush Foundation always searching for new organizations or new groups that are doing work that maybe hasn't been recognized before, or maybe hasn't gotten support from other organizations?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we know there are terrific organizations, longstanding organizations, and we want to be available to them, but we also sometimes do see, you know, the most exciting, promising ideas coming from those new emerging organizations. We want to make sure that they know where to find us and that we have a chance to understand what they're doing and be supportive if we can.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with Jennifer Ford Reedy. She's the president of the Bush Foundation. And you'd mentioned Archibald and Edith Bush, the founders of the Bush Foundation, happened some 61 years ago. I'm wondering if the vision of the Bush Foundation has changed much since then?
Yes. I mentioned that Archibald was and Edith were really, I think, far-sighted in creating an institution that was so flexible. They did not put very many constraints on us. So we try to think about living up to the spirit of what Archibald and Edith intended. And, you know, and when we talk about our values, one of the values is to steward well. And part of that is thinking that Archibald and Edith would be proud, you know, of what we're trying to accomplish. That said, you know, foundations are funny organizations in that a lot of them are tended to be perpetual. So you end up getting pretty far away in time and sometimes in activity from what, you know, the founders were originally doing with their own philanthropy. And I think it generally tends to be a mistake or not the most effective philanthropic strategy to be trying to do, you know, Ouija board philanthropy and really trying to guess exactly what those founders would have done. But we really try to think about whether we are acting in a way that we think is consistent with the values of the founders. Now, I will say that one part of our philanthropy that we tie back most directly to Archibald Bush is those investments in people. With his own philanthropy, he was incredibly generous with individuals. So, you know, he was an executive at 3M, and he would find that scientist who really wanted to be a doctor and write him a check to get him to medical school. Like, he really believed in the power of people. He was a salesman, too, and I think he really believed in his ability to judge character and to find those individuals that could really benefit from a boost. And I love that about our Bush Fellows program, that it really continues pretty directly that tradition of how Archibald Bush did his own giving.
Well, what is it that makes an effective philanthropic organization? I'm guessing that it takes a lot more than just simply writing out checks.
Yes. I think that's right. Now, you can just give money and do a lot of good because there are great organizations out there. And, you know, just finding good organizations and giving them money is a great service. But, you know, I think there's an opportunity and for me in this role, a moral obligation in some ways to do more than that. And there are a variety of things you can do other than that. It can be, you know, a convening role, bringing organizations together to address issues in a different way. Here in South Dakota, the Vukurovich Foundation, I think, is a national model of doing that kind of philanthropy well. It can be things like promoting the nonprofits that you invest in to try and get other people excited about those nonprofits and attract resources to them. There are a variety of ways you can do more than just giving. You could be, you know, an expert foundation and try and really develop knowledge that then informs how other people practice in communities. So there are a number of things you can do, but I definitely do believe that, you know, doing more than just giving dollars is a pretty critical part of trying to fulfill a mission that's based on doing the most possible good with the resources you have.
There are places in South Dakota, North Dakota as well, and certainly in Minnesota outside the Twin Cities, some rather isolated rural areas. Are there certain challenges for the Bush Foundation in building philanthropy in those rural, oftentimes underserved areas?
Yes. I mean, I think there are challenges to doing philanthropy well in those areas. I think there are challenges to doing a lot of things well in areas where population is very dispersed. I mean, just serving them commercially would be more complicated than you know, providing businesses where people are concentrated. There are a lot of challenges with geographic dispersion. And you definitely see that, you know, in this part of the state, particularly out in western South Dakota, in a really profound way. And so it does require you to think really differently about what does it look like to be supportive of communities that really are so dispersed. And there are strengths with any situation where there are unique challenges, there are also unique strengths. And there are ways in which dispersed communities have figured out how to be supportive of each other. And it's about understanding what are those things that work in any community and how do you build on those assets or those attributes.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and my guest is Jennifer Ford Reedy. She's the president of the Bush Foundation. She spoke at the Morning Phillips series sponsored by the Garage in Rapid City earlier today. And as I understand it, you're just the fourth president of the Bush Foundation?
The fourth president, that's right.
What does that mean for an organization that's been around for 61 years that has had rather stable leadership?
Well, I think one thing it means is that it's a really good job and people don't want to leave it. That's how I feel. I feel really, really, really lucky to have this job and want to make the most of it. I think, you know, with every job, there are advantages to having, you know, stability in leadership, and sometimes there are advantages to change, and it's trying to get that right amount. I try to think a lot about how we're balancing that in our staff. Like, how do we balance having some people on staff who are those long-term people who have that institutional memory and the long-term community relationships that are so valuable, but also making sure that you get new folks in every year so that you're constantly getting new perspectives and new energy into the organization. And in philanthropy, you know, I joke about it, but it is true that people come into philanthropy and don't leave because there are a lot of things about it that are really attractive. And that's great in some ways, but can really be a limiter for you if you're not making sure that you're somehow getting people who have different experiences, newer information sometimes, but, you know, a different set of folks in helping you make decisions. So we think about it from a staff perspective. We also really try to rely as much as we can on external selection committees too. So the Bush Prize organizations that you referenced, those were actually selected by a panel of people from South Dakota, which I think is really important for us in a number of ways. One, I just love the idea that this is actually the first time this is true in Bush Foundation history, that we now have some grant decisions being made for South Dakota by people from South Dakota, which I love in principle, but it also allows us to be way, way, way smarter. Like, if we want to find excellent organizations, we can do that so much better, you know, if we have that local intelligence helping us make good decisions.
For you, how did you get started in community service and philanthropy? You've been with a number of organizations over the years.
Well, I have always been interested, you know, for as long as I can remember, in trying to do something that I would sort of broadly define as public service, like interested in trying to have a positive impact on the world. And sometimes when I think about not just my professional development, but my personal development over the course of my life, it's been understanding different ways that you can have an impact. And there's so many different ways you can. I mean, in cities like Sioux Falls, here in Rapid City, you see incredible positive impact you can have, you know, as an engaged business leader. Certainly the public sector has the function of you know, making good things happen in the community. You see it in the nonprofit sector. And what I really became enamored with was the power of working across all those types of institutions, the power of working across sector, of having business and public sector and nonprofits work together on something. And so then what attracted me to philanthropy, to a foundation, is that foundations tend, you know, have the flexibility to be able to think about working across sectors. So we can fund or encourage or be a part of initiatives that are looking at solving problems in really creative ways and in ways that bring a lot of different partners to the table. And I love that. And I think that's a big part of the potential power of philanthropy.
The potential of bringing together partners, is that easier or harder these days? I'm thinking of how we're able to be brought together, communities are brought together through the internet and social media and those sorts of things.
Well, the particular kind of problem solving, you know, where institutions are coming together, I think is actually easier because there are different financial pressures on organizations now than were true in the past. And I think more and more and more public entities, nonprofit entities are feeling underfunded and overstressed and realizing that there needs to be some other way of working to really address the challenges that they're trying to address in the community. So I think you see actually ever more willingness of nonprofits and other organizations to come together to share resources, to share intelligence, and try and find you know, a way to get more value from the resources that currently exist in the community, because there doesn't seem to be a bunch of new money flowing in. So it's really, okay, this is what we got. Can we do something more with it by thinking about the problem in a different way or by working with each other in a different way?
Well, finally, this morning, as I mentioned, you were in Rapid City, or you are in Rapid City. You had a talk this morning. Did you have a productive conversation, you think?
Oh, it was great. It was great. And I'm getting to have a number of conversations while I'm here that have been really, really helpful to me and inspiring. It's helpful to understand what the challenges are here, but then really inspiring to see the ways that people are coming together to solve them. There's a really collaborative culture out here in Rapid City that I find really impressive and really inspiring. But you can also look around and see the impact that committed individuals have had on this community. You look around and say, oh, wow, that's an amazing park, or that's an amazing commercial development, or that's an amazing this or that. And there's a person, you know, who had that idea and got other people excited and made it happen. And you can really look around this community and see, you know, the power of an individual enlisting other individuals to shape a community. And it's really, really fun and inspiring to see.
I imagine it's very helpful that getting away from St. Paul and getting to the communities beyond that and seeing maybe some examples of how the Bush Foundation's grant money has been used and seeing it in action.
I love it. And, you know, because we've been doing this for 60 years, I can walk around and get credit for a whole bunch of things that I didn't have anything to do with. But there are so many, you know, people who got fellowships who will come and say it changed their lives, or institutions that got grants who will say, you know, it made all the difference for us to be able to do this or that. And it's a total joy for me to get to, you know, represent this institution that has been able to enable so much good in this region. And it's really, really fun to come and hear those stories.
Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and enjoy the rest of your time in Rapid City.
Thank you so much.